You've heard our voices this morning lifting to you our thankfulness and our praise and our adoration. And so, Father, we ask and pray that your Spirit would continue to guide us in our worship. As we have come to worship this morning, Father, we have come to worship you, but we have also come to hear from you. May your Spirit speak to our hearts and to our ears this morning. These songs have already spoken to us. May the Scripture speak to us. May you be glorified, Heavenly Father, in our churches all over America today and all over the globe. May souls be transformed. May souls be redeemed. Set the captive free. Give sight to the blind. And may the good news be preached all across the globe today, just like Jesus said when he was here. Father God, we praise you. It's been another tough week for a lot in our community, but you have been with us, and we praise you. We, as Richard said, lift up to you those that have lost their family this last few days or couple of weeks or even a month, and ask that you would comfort them and you would draw them close, and we would trust you completely. Yes, we have questions from time to time, but help us to trust you anyway. Help us to long to know you more. And so, Father, we pray for those that are sick and those that are hurting and those that are lonely and those that are lost. Father God, do a work, we pray today, in the name of Jesus and to the glory of God. Thank you for your word. We've got it to read. We've got it to learn from. We've got it to enjoy. Help us to learn from it this morning. Thank you, Father, for all that are here. You know us by name. You know how our week went. You know how tomorrow will go. Speak to us today as we have come to worship you in this place. Speak to us, Father, by your Spirit, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Over the past few weeks, we have been talking about living transformed lives to the glory of God. And we've talked about what does transformation look like. We've talked about it, us being the light in a dark place. And in that new creation in Christ, having a transformed mind, hungering for righteousness. We've talked about all these things as being evidences of being transformed by the Holy Spirit of God, because we have put our faith in the Son of God. And let me just say this again. I know you know this, but let me just say, you cannot follow Christ if you don't know Him. You cannot be a follower of Christ until you get to know Him. I don't mean know about. The Pharisees knew about Jesus. They didn't know Him as Lord. And I'm just pleading with this morning, friends, to listen to the voice of God when He says, come and follow me. Really follow Christ. We cannot follow Him until we know Him. He invites us to come and know Him as Lord and Savior and Messiah, Redeemer and Forgiver of our sins. And when we really come to know Him, He will change you. Amen? He has changed us. When we really come to know Him, He will change you, and we will live lives of transformation. Not because we want a pat on the back, because the Holy Spirit of God has taken up residence in us. We will be a new creation. Today, maybe for 2 weeks, we will take a look at what transformation doesn't look like. Turn to Genesis chapter 19. If you've got your Bible, if you don't, it'll be here. You can follow along if you want to pull out a Bible from the seat in front of you. We're going to be in Genesis chapter 19. I think a lot of you know the story, probably every one of you. It's a story about Lot. You remember Lot, Abraham's nephew, followed Abraham from Ur of the Chaldees to Haran into Canaan. Abraham's nephew. Lot was one of the family. Lot had seen the hand of God. He knew about God. He knew how God had called Abraham from a faraway place into Canaan. Lot was with Abraham in Egypt. You can read all about this in the first few chapters of Genesis. There was a great famine in Canaan. Lot and Abraham and their families went to Egypt. And then they came back with great possessions. And they came back into the land of Canaan. And Abraham says to Lot, "You choose. We got a lot of stock. We got a lot of sheep. We got a lot of servants, and they're not getting along. You choose. If you want the right hand, I'll go to the left. If you want the left, I'll go to the right." And so Lot, the Bible says, looked out into the Jordan Valley, into the plains there, and he saw that it was green and lush, and he said, "I'll take that. I'll take that green valley." And Abraham, you know, went into the high country, but also in the valley was Sodom and Gomorrah. And in the valley, Genesis 13:13 says this. It says that Sodom was a city that Lot pitched his tent by. And the Bible said it was exceedingly wicked against God. And that's where he pitched his tent. And I think you know the story in Genesis 18 when three travelers came. One of them was the Lord himself and came and visited Abraham. And they told them tomorrow he was going to need to judge Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham said, "Yeah, but if there was 50 people there, would you do it?" You remember the story. Abraham gets down to 10. "If there was 10 righteous people, would you destroy it?" And he said, "I wouldn't even destroy it if there were 10. That's leading up to Genesis 19. Here we go. "Now two angels came to Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. When Lot saw them, he rose to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face to the ground. And he said, 'Hear now, my lords, please turn into your servant's house and spend the night and wash your feet. Then you may rise early and go on your way.'" You see, he knew enough to take care of the stranger. He knew enough that it was his obligation as passersby were going through to minister to them. They were guests, they were strangers, but he knew enough to take care of them. And they said to him, "No, we will spend the night in the open square." But he, that's Lot, insisted strongly to they, and so they, the angels, turned into him and entered into his house. And he made them a feast, and he baked unleavened bread, and they ate. Now before they lay down, the Bible says, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, both old and young, all the people from every quarter surrounded the house, and they called to Lot and said to him, "Where are these guys who came to you tonight? Bring them out. Bring them out to us so we may know them carnally." Your different translations will say different things, but you get the idea. Remember, Genesis 13:13 said this was an exceedingly wicked city against God. Bring them two strangers out that we can know them all night long. So Lot went out to them through the doorway, shut the door behind him, and said, "Please, my brethren, do not do so wickedly. See now, I have two daughters here who have not known a man. Please let me bring them out to you, and you may do to them as you wish. Only do nothing to these men, since this is the reason they have come under the shadow of my roof." And they said, that's the crowd, "Stand back. This one came to stay here, and he keeps acting as a judge. Now we will deal worse with you than with them," they said to Lot. So they pressed hard against the man Lot and came near to breaking down the door. But the men, that's the angels, reached out their hand, pulled Lot back into the house with them and shut the door. And they struck the men who were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they became weary trying to find the door. You get the scene? Then the men, that's the angels, said to Lot, "Have you anyone else here, son-in-law, your sons, your daughters, and whoever you have in this city, take them out of this place. Get out of here," they said, "for we will destroy this place, because the outcry against them has grown great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it." God will judge sin. God will judge sin. Oh, he's so good. He wants to forgive us. He wants to forgive us. And the Bible says if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the heart of God. But if we never deal with sin, He will judge sin. So Lot went out and he spoke to his sons-in-law who had married his daughters and said, "Get up out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city." But to his sons-in-law, it seemed like he was only joking. When the morning dawned, the angels urged Lot to hurry, saying, "Arise, take your wife, take your daughters who are here, lest you be consumed in the punishment of the city." Look at verse 16 and remember that four words for a moment. And while he lingered, that's Lot. He was thinking, "Do I really want to leave this place?" While he lingered, the men took hold of his hand. They grabbed his wife's hand. They grabbed his hand. They grabbed the daughter's hands. Why? The next words say, "The Lord being merciful to Lot." And they brought him out and they set him outside the city. So it came to pass when they had brought them outside that he said, "Escape for your life. Don't look back, you, nor stay anywhere in the plain. Escape to the mountain lest you be destroyed." The next couple of verses are a dialogue between Lot and the angels. He's arguing, "I don't want to go to the mountains." He ends up in the mountains eventually anyway. Verse 23, "The sun had risen upon the earth when Lot entered Zoar." That's the next city. "Then the Lord rained down brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. So he overthrew those cities, all the plain, all the inhabitants of the cities, and what grew on the ground. But his wife looked back behind him." She looked back at Sodom and Gomorrah where she had come. And the Bible says, "And she turned instantly into a pillar of salt." And one last little paragraph. I know it's a long story, but I need the whole story to get the flavor. Abraham, who had been with the Lord the day before, rationalizing with God, "If there was some righteous people, would you just spare it?" Abraham went out to the edge of the mountain and he looked down into the valley in the morning where he had stood the very day before with the Lord. And he looked down toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain. And he saw and behold the smoke of the land, which went up like the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham. You know why Lot got out of there? Because of Abraham. And God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in which Lot had dwelt. Lot had lived too long and was too content with the ungodliness of Sodom that he was no longer a witness for the Lord. He had allowed the environment to shape him rather than he having any influence on the environment. Remember, I've said to us over and over, brothers and sisters, if we do not allow the Word of God to form us and to mold us and to shape us into the people of God that He wants, the followers of Christ that He wants, then the world will form us and shape us and mold us into their image. That's what happened to Lot. He no longer had any light to shine in a very dark place. Lot had compromised to the point, I read from one commentary, that he was no longer used of God and was almost useless to God. When he finally tried to make a stand, nobody would even listen. Not the son-in-laws, not the men of the city. No one would even listen to him anymore. And I ask this morning, friends, do those we live around see us as a witness for God, or do they see us as just one more of the crowd? Because that's how they saw Lot. That's not living for Christ. That's not living transformed lives. That's not being that light on the hill. He was just one of the boys. And Lot's wife, clinging to the past, lingering in sin, unwilling to turn completely away. Friends, listen to me this morning. Are we looking back all the time, clinging to sin? Are we living in sin and trying to move forward with God? Because the two won't go together. I'm not here to judge anybody. I told you that through this whole transformation. I am here to enlighten, and I am here to tell you that if we're trying to make forward progress with God, we have got to leave sin behind. We've got to step out of it. We've got to walk away from it. We've got to repent of it. We've got to claim the name of Jesus as Savior and Lord and live by the power of the Holy Spirit of God and be those transformed people that He has called us to be. We cannot make progress walking with God if we are still clinging to and longing for and living in sin. It doesn't work that way. I mentioned to us the other day, God, Jesus, directs His followers to walk in the light because He is light. He beckons us to come follow Him. It's our choice whether we're going to follow Him or not. He gives us that choice. It's our choice where we're going to let His Spirit lead us and help us and heal us or not. He gives us those choices. But if we keep going back, it's going to be hard to be well. It's going to be hard to let our light shine if we keep going back to sin and the old ways. I just read a book again for the second time by Jim Cimbala. It's called You Are Made for More. It's a great book. If you haven't read it, I'd encourage you to read it. All of Jim Cimbala's books are good. Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire, those are good books. I'm reading this a second time. You Are Made for More because I believe God has more for His church. To love Him and love our neighbors. To look like Jesus. And I'm reading it for Jim. You were made for more, Jim Cimbala and Jim Johnson. You were made for more, not just to get by. You were made for more, Church of God. And so I'm reading this book for me. And in it, he tells of a time when he was addressing, I think most of you know Jim Cimbala, Brooklyn Tabernacle. You've heard of Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir. Jim Cimbala is their pastor out there. They've done a miraculous work of God. God is in it there in Brooklyn, New York. But he was invited to speak at a prayer conference in the Northwest, Pacific Northwest. And it was a large crowd. They were gathered at this prayer conference. And while he was preaching, and in his book he said he was giving it all. He was preaching. He was pouring out his heart to the people there. And he noticed they were just kind of sitting there without any response. Kind of holding back. Kind of reserved. And at one point Jim said this, and I quote, "In the same way, we cannot live in known disobedience and expect that God will bless and help us. If He did, He would be encouraging our rebellion. We cannot have God and at the same time hold on to the sin He sent His Son to die for," end quote. And Jim writes in his book, he didn't think it was that hard of a concept to understand, but he had totally lost the crowd. A wall had gone up in the crowd. And then he stated to them, and he quoted to them Psalm 66:18. You know the verse that it said, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord cannot hear me." He shared that with them. And he realized, as they seemed to get more distance, this is church people at a prayer conference. He realized, as they seemed to get even more distance, he realized that it was not a wall of misunderstanding, but a wall of rejection of the Word of God and what he was delivering that night. Then Pastor Cimbla closed with this that night. He said, "Maybe some of you think that you can live in sin. You can lie on the job, you can sleep around, and you can still press a button and get instant God. It doesn't work that way." The next day, Pastor Cimbla was getting ready to leave town, and he was at a store someplace in town, and somebody literally comes running up to him shouting, "Pastor Cimbla!" And he turns around, and there's this young man coming, and he said, "Hey, I was there last night when you spoke, and that really was powerful, and it really got to my mother-in-law." Jim said, "Okay. Yeah, it really got to my mother-in-law. She's living with this guy, and she's going to start praying about moving out." To which Jim Cimbla stated emphatically, "You don't have to pray about the things that God has already called sin." Are you hearing me this morning, brothers and sisters? We don't have to pray about if God has already called it sin. We need to get out of sin and repent of it and walk in newness of life with Christ and being led by the Holy Spirit. I've said this in our transformation series, to be helpful and to enlighten. Followers of Jesus follow Jesus. Amen? He has called us to follow Him. And if we claim the name of Jesus and live in the world and like the world, we got no light for the world to see the hope that lies within us. Here's the big deal for today, friends. Sin separates us from God. That's why He sent His Son. The Bible tells us what sin is. It's got all kinds of direction and instruction. But oftentimes we get like Lot. We grow accustomed to it and maybe even enjoy the surroundings, and sin doesn't even bother us no more. Or maybe culture says it's legal, why not? So we go with it. Pastor Cimbla also said in his book, lots of pastors don't want to talk about sin because it might hurt the ratings. Or it might chase people away from the church. I don't speak about sin today, friends, to chase people away from the church, but to help us see that the Bible says in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. I don't want death. That means eternal separation from God. I don't want death for anybody. That means hell. The wages of sin is death. God doesn't want that for anybody. I don't, and we shouldn't as followers of Christ. We shouldn't want to dwell and linger and long for sin. We should claim the name of Christ and be filled with the Holy Ghost and walk as a new creation like He said we should. And I say to us this morning, not to cast stones and to judge, but to enlighten. If we continue to linger in sin, it will burn us. The wages of sin is death. Romans 1, 6, 1 and 15, Paul says to the church at Rome, shall I continue in sin just to watch grace be elevated up? He says, no, I should not continue in sin just so grace can abound. We're to walk away from sin. We are a new creation in Christ. We have the Holy Spirit of God to help us. And so let me close with this. Then we're going to sing, I Will Rise. I want to sing, I Will Rise. Because I want us to rise as people of God above sin and above the chaos of the world and be salt and light for Jesus Christ. And so that we, being the light of the world, will shine a light in the darkness and people will see the hope of Christ and come running to the light. That's why I talk about transformation. So we, the Christians, the church, will let our light shine and live for Christ so people see us and bring glory to God, just like Jesus said in Matthew 5:16. And so, praise team, come on, let's sing I Will Rise Again. And let me say this to close. Brothers and sisters, I urge us today to not be like Lot, who has grown so used to sin and seemingly okay with his surroundings that he absolutely had no witness for God. His light has gone out. I urge us today not be like Lot. I urge us today to not be like Lot's wife who kept looking back to sin. I urge us in the church to know Christ as Lord, to allow His Spirit to lead us, to transform us, to heal us, to set us free. I urge us to not be like Lot's wife and keep looking back and keep going back to sin. And lastly, I urge us not to be like the mother-in-law in the story of Pastor Simbla's book, who thought she might even pray about the sin in her life. Brothers and sisters, listen to me. If it is sin, it needs to go, not be prayed about. We're going to sing this song because I felt when I was singing this earlier, this is the song for the church today. We need to know Jesus. We will never live a life of transformation until we have surrendered to Jesus. That means repent of all sin, believe He is Lord, and receive Him as Savior, and allow the Spirit of God to transform us. We will never be transformed until we've been born again. It must start with our surrendering to Christ. He is Lord. And when we surrender to Him, may the church rise up and minister to a world that hurts. Love our neighbors like ourselves. To love the Lord in a new way. And some days it's just plain help. We cry out, help me, Lord. But may we rise up in newness of life by the Son of God and the Spirit of God and be the new creation and that light sitting on a hill. May we in the church who claim the name of Christ be that way. Friends, let's bow our heads to close. You know, there's good news. Jesus has come and gone to the cross for our sin so that we don't have to live in it any longer. There's hope and forgiveness in Christ. Cry out to Him today in repentance of sin. Believe on Him as Savior. Receive Him as Lord. Walk in newness of life. Father, we praise You for the grace that is available to each and every one of us. It doesn't matter what our past was. Your grace covers it. The blood of Jesus covers it. But when we come to You, Father, in faith and receive Jesus Christ, we repent of our sin, knowing that You will forgive us. But with the help of the Holy Spirit, walking away from it. Help us, Lord, to live lives that are pleasing to You, that are lives of transformation. Help us, Father, to follow Jesus. If there are folks here today struggling, Father, touch them. And as they cry out to You, heal them completely, I pray, in the name of Jesus. If there are folks here today, Father, that are like some of those that we talked about, Lot, his wife, the mother-in-law, struggling and lingering with the past, set them free, Lord Jesus. Help them by the Holy Spirit of God to live that life that is light, that is a new creation, that has said no to sin, because I belong to Jesus. Help us, Father, in the church to represent Jesus. And so a world that hurts and is struggling in the darkness sees the light of Jesus and comes running to the light of Christ. Dismiss us today, Father, with Your guiding hand, guiding to You, helping us to know what we got to do. Dismiss us today, Father, with Your hand of strength and encouragement to go through and carry through what You're asking of us. Dismiss us today, Father, having been changed by the Holy Spirit of God, because we've encountered the Son of God. Glorify Your name again in the church. Glorify Your name, Father, we pray, in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.